بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 8th of January in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 33rd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu anh. And I'm going through the section, which I believe is now obligatory upon every believer to know. And that is exactly what happened after the passing away of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in summary so far, I've mentioned that the companions had asked point blank, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't you appoint a khalif? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I were to appoint someone as your khalif and you disobey him, you would be punished. So this is the first thing to keep in your memory banks. The companions asked and the Prophet gave the reason why he wasn't appointing explicitly sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to mercy. Then I mentioned the reports in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim where the Prophet was actually thinking of writing down Abu Bakr. But then he finally concluded by saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow it to be otherwise and the Muslims will prevent it to be otherwise. Meaning there's no point me writing it down. Allah ta'ala will only allow Abu Bakr to take the post, radiyallahu. And then I mentioned the great Hafiz ibn Asakir rahmatullah alayh, his statement in defense of Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, where some of the deviants they state that why is it only Aisha who narrates these hadiths? And Ibn Asakir rahmatullah alayh said because Rasulullah passed away in her chamber sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and her words proved to be true. So it's not actually intelligent at all to find fault with our beloved mother, and the fact that what she said came true adds to the veracity of her reports, radiyallahu. And then I mentioned what Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said. He said there was a triple honor for Abu Bakr. If Allah the Almighty had, or his beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had appointed Abu Bakr, then there would have been one honor. So he was given triple honor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved messenger, and the consensus of the companions. So this is another wisdom why this took place. And then I mentioned what Hafiz al-Khatib said, rahmatullah alayh, where he mentioned that over 30,000 companions called him Khalifat, Ya Khalifatul Rasulullah, or the Khalif of the Messenger of Allah, or the successor of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And nobody, he said, was called this after Abu Bakr. So the only one who was actually called a successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr radiyallahu. So to add a few other things, Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he gave another beautiful clarification, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Lata'if al-Ma'arif, page 214 of the English translation. Another probable reason for not recording this decree was that no one should be under the false premise that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specified his succession as a recompense for all his assistance to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hafiz ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayhi, he said that if the Prophet had appointed Abu Bakr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people may have been under the false impression that the Prophet was paying him back for all the services and help he'd given him. So Ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayhi said this was to protect the Muslims from thinking this. It was for all this and other reasons that we have a direct report. In Tirmidhi is Gharib, Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra 8-152, Mishkat volume 4 number 21 in the chapter on Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she heard her illustrious husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, La yanbaghi liqawmin fihim Abu Bakr ayya ummahum ghayru. It does not behove a people amongst whom there is the likes of Abu Bakr radiyallahu to elect an imam other than him. Subhanallah. It does not behove a people amongst whom there is the likes of Abu Bakr radiallahu to elect an imam other than him. So in this report recorded in Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's not a good thing for any community when they have a man like Abu Bakr amongst them to elect an imam other than him. And what did the Prophet call him? Ummahum, an imam. So again, this is with regards to the clarity. So with that in place, now we can turn to the sequence of events. Entitled, The Blessed Companions radiallahu ta'ala, initial division into three groups over the question of successorship. Thus, as is but obvious, because there was not an explicit divine command with regards to his authority, there was invariably going to be a difference of opinion amongst the noble companions. Radiallahu ta'ala. So yes, the matter is clear. No direct command. So you've got room to do ijtihad. Thus the majestic companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum had initially fallen into three groups with regards to who should succeed our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what were the three groups? The first group, the Muhajirun radiallahu ta'ala anhum, united behind Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhum. The second group, the Ansar radiallahu ta'ala anhum, initially rallied behind their chief Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhum. But thereafter, they rallied behind Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhum. And the third group, the Banu Hashim, initially uniting behind Sayyidina Ali, as I will mention at the relevant place, radiallahu anhum. So these were the three groups. So some rallied behind Abu Bakr, some behind Sa'd ibn Ubadah, some behind Sayyidina Ali. So like I mentioned, I'll mention it again, this has got nothing to do with rank. They all knew Abu Bakr was the greatest. This is to do with leadership, who they thought would be best suited to take the role as a leader. So the Ansar, they rallied behind Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Why? First of all, he was a divinely appointed leader. He was a Nuqaba. Remember I mentioned a few moons back that there was 12 divinely appointed men from the Ansar. And who was pointing to the men? Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam. Who was one of the men he pointed to? Sa'd ibn Ubadah. So Sa'd certainly was an imam. Certainly was a leader for excellence, number one. Secondly, is his backyard. Al-Madinah is his home. So obviously the one who knows, who's grown up, whose fathers, forefathers were chiefs, you'd expect him also to have a say. So this is why the Ansar rallied behind him. So let's look at the Ansar. Entitled, The Noble Ansar radiallahu ta'ala anhum retract their view. It is related in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, Tabari in his Tariq, Kanz al-Umal, volume 3, page 130, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 57 of the New English Translation, that upon the sad passing away of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ansar gathered together and they were discussing whether their chief Sa'd ibn Ubadah should now be elected as Khalif. Bani Saqifah. So what's Bani Saqifah? So this is a place where the Ansar would meet. It's now an orchard at the other side of Masjid al-Nabi. So they were there, they were discussing this. So what happened? In Sahih Bukhari, number 6830, Imam Malik's Muwatta, Nasa'i, number 7151, 7154. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 391. Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra, number 16312. Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, 3-568. Abu Ubaid in his Gharaib, Kanz al-Omal, volume 3, page 138-9, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 664 of the New English Translation, Al-Bidayah 5-246, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 371 of the New English Translation. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu said upon the pulpit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were informed that the Ansar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu disagreed with this and gathered in the courtyard of Banu Sa'idah. In addition, Ali and Zubair radiyallahu anhu and whoever was with them opposed us, whilst the Muhajirun gathered with Abu Bakr. So the statement I made about the three groups, here's the proof. Who is saying it? Umar on the pulpit of Rasulullah. Then he said, I, Umar, thereupon said to Abu Bakr, let us go to the Ansar brothers of ours. Thus we set out seeking them, and when we approached them, two pious men of theirs met us and informed us of the final decision of the Ansar. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he's the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And people were probably asking him about what happened. And he's on the pulpit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's telling them, because we split into three camps over who should succeed. So I said to Abu Bakr, let's go to the Ansar. Why? Because it's hardly advisable going to the family. They're washing the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ansar we can talk to. But when they were going towards them, look what he said. Two pious men of theirs, we bumped into them. And they were telling us about what's happening. Who were these two men? In Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf, Kanz al-Umal, volume 3, page 139, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 372 of the New English Translation, the two men said, you may return, for you can never be opposed, and nothing can be done without your approval. Umar radiallahu anhu said, we, however, refused to listen to them, and we continued. So what happened? These two companions from the Ansar radiallahu anhum, they said to the, there was actually three, Abu Ubaidah was there as well. They said to the three sheikhs, nothing to worry about. We're never going to oppose you. And even if we agree to something, we have to go through your. So Umar radiallahu anhu padlocked to the fitna. He politely said, thank you, we're still going. Right, so he started. They start heading towards the gatherings. So who were these two men? So with regards to who these two noble Ansar were, Ibn Ishaq mentioned. This is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 665-6 of the New English Translation. Ibn Ishaq, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, one of the two Ansari men who met Abu Bakr and Umar ibn al-Khattab on their way, radiyallahu anhum, to the courtyard of Banu Sa'idah, was Sayyidina Uwaym ibn Sa'ida, and the other was Sayyidina Ma'an ibn Adi, the brother of Banu al-Ajlan. So obviously we can be excused. And first thing goes to your mind is, astaghfirullah. You might as well have said John, Joe Smith and John Bloggs. So who are these two men? One is Sayyidina Uwaym ibn Sa'ida, and the other was Ma'an ibn Adi. Ibn Ishaq is now explaining to us, so we get a connection. Concerning the first one, Sayyidina Uwaym ibn Sa'id, radiallahu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in connection with whom Allah the Almighty and Glorious said, and he recited Surah At-Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 108, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. There is a masjid whose foundation was laid from the first day on taqwa. It is more worthy of your standing forth therein. In it are men who love to be purified. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who make themselves pure. Rasulullah thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how excellent are such people, amongst whom is Uwaym ibn Sa'id. This is recorded in Al-Isabah 4-745, Tabari in his Tariq 2-235. So stop in the report. So Ibn Ishaq is giving you a connection with this man. So they bumped, the two sheikhs bumped into the two Ansar. Who was the first one? Uwaym ibn Sa'idah. He goes, he is one of those whom Allah the Almighty has praised. Where? Surah 9 verse 108. And it's talking about Masjid al-Quba. The first masjid that was built by Rasulullah wasn't Masjid al-Nabi. Trick question. It was Masjid al-Quba. That masjid Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. And he says, the people of Taqwa should go there. In it are men who love to be purified. Allah Ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. Then what did Rasulullah say? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How excellent are these people, amongst whom is Uwaym ibn Sa'ida radiallahu. So we got a connection. That was one of the men they bumped into. Then Ibn Ishaq said, as regards to Sayyidina Ma'an ibn Adi, the second man, radiallahu, it is reported that the people wept upon the passing away of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would that we had died before him. We now fear lest we should be put into a fitna after him. Upon this, Sayyidina Ma'an ibn Adi, radiallahu anhu, said, however, as for me, then by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would not have liked that I passed away before him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only in order that I would believe him after his passing, as I believed him during his life. Sayyidina Ma'an was martyred on the day of Yamama during the Khalifa of Abu Bakr, radiallahu. This is in Tabari in his Tariq 2-236. So who was the second one? This second blessed man from the Ansar, Ma'an ibn Adi from Banu al-Ajlan. Look at his iman. He was thinking, you have to believe in Rasulullah. But when he passes away, that's the test. So many of the other sahaba were saying, oh, if only we died first. He goes, you know, we would have been better for this. So he goes, no, I would have not liked that, because I want to believe in him after he passed away. And the people were shocked at that. He goes, man. And he was martyred on the day of Yamama against Musaylimah ad-Dalayh. So he actually didn't live that long. He actually passed away within a year after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was given the honor to live after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's the two men that Abu Bakr and Umar bumped into. And Umar, and they said to them, he goes, look, we will never do anything. We will have to go through your. And Umar still said, Jazakallah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with them both and forgive us all for their honorable sake. Ameen. So they're now heading. Abu Bakr, Umar, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah and other companions radiyallahu ta'ala thereupon came to the council hall Banu Saqifa so that a quick decision would not be made. So now what's happened to me? Hang on a minute, was it Abu Bakr and Umar? Now you're saying many of them. So you can work it out. As they're heading that way, so both the Sahaba also wanted to participate. So now what's interesting? You got Abu Ubaidah. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu is the one who Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the trustworthy man of this entire ummah. Now what does that mean in our language? If you put it into our language, this is what it means. I trust him. I trust him with my life. So when somebody goes, what do you think of this person? And you say those words, I trust him with my life. That means that that person has to be a very, very sound, reliable, honest person, depending who's saying that. Who said that? Rasulullah, the trustworthy man of this ummah. And what's shocking is, he's the third. So they all get to Banu Saqifa. What happened? So this is the report. Is it Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 18? It's Sahih li ghayri. Tabari in his Tariq, Kanz al-Umal, volume 3, page 137. Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 5, page 191 states. Related by Ahmad, it is Sahih, except Humayd ibn Abdul Rahman had not been living during the era of Abu Bakr, radiallahu. Ibn Kathir Sira, volume 4, page 354 of the New English Translation. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 56 of the New English Translation. So just a word about the authenticity. So this is a Sahih hadith. Sayyih li ghayri. What does that mean? It means it's got a sound chain, but it's got other chains which boost it up to sayyih. Hafiz Haythami, the master of the hadith sciences, he said there's only one very slight weakness in the chain. And it's Humayd ibn Abdul Rahman. So who's this? He's the one who's narrating the report. So Humayd ibn Abdul Rahman Himyari, he's relating. So Hafiz Haythami said, this is the weakness. He had not been living during the era of Abu Bakr. So basically, he's heard it from somebody. Have you understood? So look how noble the muhaddiths are. They want to let you know how reliable this report is. Because look, we're telling you, this is where the weakness lies. But it's sahih hadith because of other supporting texts. So what is it mentioned? Now this is a very important report. Humayd ibn Abdul Rahman Himyari rahmatullah alayhi, he said, when he had heard the Ansar had gathered to discuss Khilaf, Abu Bakr followed by Umar went to the Ansar. Abu Bakr then began to talk to the Ansar. He did not leave out any verse of the Quran or any hadith of Rasulullah concerning the virtues. So what an entrance, right? So Abu Bakr enters and Umar wanted to speak. And the Prophet, Abu Bakr then told him to, you know, relax. So what was the first thing? So he, don't forget that in the gathering of the Ansar, this is their, we call it Hujra, right? This is their chamber. He quotes every verse which praises the Ansar. How long will that take? Then he quotes every hadith. So what? Why did he do that? He was letting them know, I know you. Don't think we don't know your status. Then he said, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, I am well aware that Rasulullah said, and then he mentioned what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ سَلَقَ النَّاسُ وَادِيَا وَسَلَقَتِ الْأَنصَارُ وَادِيَا سَلَقَتُ الْوَادِيَا الْأَنصَارِ. If everyone walks a valley, and the Ansar walk another valley, I shall walk the valley of the Ansar. Because I've also heard that. Then he turned to Sa'ad ibn Ubadah. Look how interesting. Abu Bakr Shaydi then turns to the chief. Then he said, and I also know, O Sa'ad, that Rasulullah said, and you were sitting there, meaning you also heard this, Quraishan walatu hadhal amr. Quraysh are to be in charge of the authority. فَبَرُّ النَّاسِ تَبَعًا لِبَرِّهِمْ. Thus the righteous of people are followers of the righteous of the Quraysh. وَفَاجِرُهُمْ تَبَعًا لِفَاجِرِهِمْ. And the criminals amongst the Quraysh are but the followers of the Quraysh, the wrongdoers. Sa'ad, upon remembering, he confirmed this and he said to Abu Bakr, Sadaqt. نَحْنُ الْوُزَرَىٰ وَأَنْتُمُ الْأُمَرَىٰ. You have spoken the truth. We shall be the advisors, whilst you be the leaders. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So like I mentioned, this is a sahih hadith. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he's sorting everything out. So he goes, gives them their due, turns to their chief. And look how amazing. He did not want to quote a hadith that Sa'ad ibn Ubadah hadn't heard direct from the Prophet. Look at the knowledge of Abu Bakr. He was trying to remember a hadith where he remembered Sa'ad was sitting there, that he's forgot. And he remembered this report. He goes, oh Sa'ad, Rasulullah, and you were sitting there. What did he say? Quraysh and walata'u hadhal amr. Quraysh are in charge of the affair. The good ones will follow the good ones, the bad ones will follow the bad ones. And look how immediate, this is the Sahaba. Look what the Rawafid want you to believe. Going against a direct command of Rasulullah, not bother about appointing Ali radiallahu anhu, all going berserk. This is how you expect them to respond. Soon as he was told the hadith, what did he do? He just humbled himself. He says, Sadaqt. Because I remember, نَحْنُ الْوَزَرَىٰ. We shall be the advisors, wazirs. We say wazir. Antumul Umara, You are the leaders. So now, this should be the end of the matter. But unfortunately, if you don't know your history, you go straight into history books, you're going to end up with another version. And the other version has got unknown people in the chain, Rawafid in the chain, God knows who else is in the chain. And they've got, literally, they've made their own history. And they will paint the picture like this. They were all fighting like children over authority. He goes, and then they say this. This is the minutes they add to it. Whilst Rasulullah had not been buried. Because that's how much love they had for him. Because his body's not even been buried. They're fighting like children. And here we are supposed to be, you know, Sunni Muslims. Oh, yeah, you got a point. Yeah. It's in the books, isn't it? There you go. Right? What hope have you got on Day of Judgment? Right? Abu Bakr's being slandered. Umar is being slandered. Abu Ubaidah's being slandered. And Sahabi is 99% of the Sahaba. And you're going, it's all right. You got a point on it. You think, look, let's go to the authentic reports. Leave Jakanori to one side. The scholars have done all the work for us. We just have to mention what they've done. They've done the hard work. We don't need to open the books up. And when you go through the authentic reports, you have that blueprint. What did I mention off tape yesterday? Whenever you get an investigator and he wants to know who's responsible for the crime, what does he do? He starts to build a profile of a person. He sits the person down. Where were you on this night? Where were you on this day? What happened? And they get a profile. Why? They want to know, how does this person tick? What is his profile? And after they get to work out roughly how he, you know, what sort of a character he's got, then they start trying to form a picture of, is it possible that he committed this crime? The same is with regards to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You build a profile of them. When you get a profile of them, when you get to this moment in Islamic history, you know what his character is like. You know how he ticks. And then when you look at the authentic reports, he goes, that's him. Because it's just like what we know about him. But when you get a report and it goes completely to what you know about him, you're thinking, that's made up. Because that doesn't fit the profile. And this is the sadness. If you turn straight away to this tragic moment of history when the prophets left the world, and that's what they want you to do, the Rawafid. Because you need to study this with a magnifying glass. Yeah, we will. And when we do, we find out that you're coming out with the caucus. Right? So again, note the also the humility of Sa'ad ibn Ubad. He didn't contest. He could have said, well, maybe there's other reports, like we're fond of saying, innit? What else did the Prophet say? Of course, you give a hadith. What else did the Prophet say? Is that what Sa'ad said? Right? He humbled himself. He goes, Sadaqt, the Prophet has spoken. Class. We are the advisors, because we're not the Quraysh. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quraysh and wulatu hadha al-amr. Quraysh are to be in charge of this affair. Look how amazing. And Sa'd goes, Sadat, we will follow our role like we did with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will help. We are the Ansar. We are the advisors. You are the leaders. And that's why for many, many years, the Khilafat was in the hands of the Quraysh. The fish and the fowl. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? وَفَاجِرُهُمْ تَبَعًا لِفَاجِرِهِمْ. And the criminals amongst the people are but the followers of the criminals of the Quraysh. So the Prophet was actually saying, you're going to get some dodgy ones as well. Dodgy khalifs from the Quraysh. But did he say, they don't have a right to it? The Quraysh have the automatic right to the Khilafat. Imam Mahdi, from the Quraysh, Banu Hashim, radiyallahu. Right? And this is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why our ulama pray for the Quraysh. Because we want them to rise. We want them to take the standard that Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with. So we can rally behind them. The blessings lies with the Quraysh. The only tribe that Allah Ta'ala has dedicated an entire surah to. Surah Quraysh. Li'ilafi Quraysh. Everybody knows that surah. Which other tribe? Allah Ta'ala goes, I am protecting you. The Honorable Quraysh, radiyallahu ta'ala. So where did it start? With Abu Bakr Siddiq. And when did the Khilafat finally leave the hands of the Quraysh? Anybody know? The Turks, when the Turks took the Khilafah. Think about that, right? Why? Because then, and the proof, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in Sahih Bukhari, listen and obey your Amir, even if it is an Abyssinian. And he mentioned the description of the Abyssinian in the report as well. He goes, listen and obey. So there's no contradiction. It means that if the Quraysh let the mantle fall, somebody has to take the mantle. The Prophet goes, even if it's an Abyssinian, rally behind him. So the Turks picked the Khilafat up. But the Quraysh have the first right to the mat. And the Prophet clearly highlighted this. So all I mentioned again was the further the history that we need to know. We have no choice. We have to know this part of our history. And this is the second session I spent on it. To reinforce so that you know exactly what's taking place. When you go through it with a fine tooth comb, you realize that the Sahaba are like the guiding stars which are mentioned in the various hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are there any questions? Let's ask. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله